Today's sermon title is Being Good. This message has been adapted from Senior Pastor's previous sermon, preached at the 2010 devotional service for Paul's and Mary's missions. Goodness is the attribute of our Father God. Once we cultivate goodness in our heart, we can be recognized as sons and daughters who resemble Father God, thereby enjoying His exceeding love. To the extent we achieve goodness, we can enjoy glory in heaven. Also, all our deeds and devotions for the Lord can wholly be repaid with rewards. By contrast, if we work for Him without a good heart, our work ends up as merely fleshly faithfulness that has nothing to do with God. So please note that according to God's justice, it cannot be paid back with heavenly rewards. Having well taught with the truth, most of Mami members prioritize circumcision of heart in their Christmas Chun life and always pray, longing for goodness. Yet, not many people have achieved the goodness of God perfectly. I mean, there is a standard that God wants. So I'm telling you that there are few people who have achieved such level of goodness. Although many of us are striving to do so, only few people have achieved it. There is no question that we are better than worldly people out there and better than we were before we heard this gospel of sanctification. But what God wants from us is not just being better than worldly people or being better than we were in the past. Now, hearing this, some of you may question, what about all my efforts to achieve a good heart here at Ma Min? I've become quite better than I was before, but that pastor says it's not enough. It's not what God, the level that God wants. Then, has my Christian life been in vain? Such thoughts may come to mind for a moment. But you have to know that the expression, it's not enough, bears God's deep love for Mami members. In other words, God lovingly urges us, the kind of goodness I want to see from you is not the kind you have. Because I'm goodness and love itself, I don't want you to settle for goodness that looks good from your perspective, but I want you to achieve goodness that resembles mine and make sure to enter New Jerusalem. As a Christian who received the Holy Spirit, if we merely remain a little better than worldly people, we cannot be assured of a better heavenly dwelling place. Even though we change into quite a good person compared to what we were before coming to this church, unless we attain to the God-desired level of goodness, we can end up in no better than the second kingdom of heaven. We have been taught well. This is the limit. It's because we fail to cast off evil completely. Here, if you are not familiar with the dwelling places in heaven, please refer back to Senior Pastor's sermon series on heaven and the measure of faith. We should break away from the worldly standard of goodness or our own standard of goodness. But indeed, we should deny ourselves, joyfully endure the God-permitted trials, customized to our own characteristics, thereby reaching the God-desired level of goodness. Only then can we enter our true home, New Jerusalem. That's why I emphasize that the worldly standard of goodness and our own standard of goodness are not enough. As you hear this message, I ask you to comprehend the exceeding love of God who eagerly looks forward to our entry into New Jerusalem. So in order for us to reach the God-desired level of goodness, not our own, it is essential that we receive grace from God. We have to be changed only through God's grace. When we worship God in spirit and in truth in the inspiration of the Spirit, we can discover forms of evil within us. With enlightening of the Holy Spirit, repent and gain strength and wisdom for the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome evil. This is how we receive grace from God. This is what it means to receive grace from God. So, if you, once you worship God in spirit and in truth with all your life, you can receive the help from the Holy Spirit and communicate with God, and you are empowered to repent. And with that repentance, you can discover your evil. And as you discover evil, you feel apologetic towards God and towards your neighbors. And that's how you truly turn from your ways. So we have to know that what a blessing it is to worship God in spirit and in truth. With God's grace coming upon us, we began to see darkness within us. And before God, who is present during our worship services, we open up our heart out of our free will. So we admit ourselves saying amen to sermons. Rather than considering what other people are like, we first reflect on ourselves. To repeatedly discover ourselves, to look at and admit our forms of evil rather than those of others, to lay down our useless flesh and ourself, to lower ourselves through trials, to cast off our evil, and to overcome in goodness. This is the essence or the core of the gospel of holiness. We must not let go of this core value. The way we should take the way to New Jerusalem is to discover and admit our evil, repent, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance, and restore the lost image of God. We've been taught well from Senior Pastor's message of the cross. From this sermon series, we've learned the spiritual reasons why Jesus came to this lowly earth, was born in a shabby stable, and laid on a manger. We, human beings, are no different than animals, as recorded in the Bible. But why do we have to exalt ourselves? Before God, who is our Creator, numerous human beings pile up evil without any regret or remorse. As you can see, news reports, we confirm this is true. Among numerous people, we've met Mom Min and gathered here to worship God and challenge ourselves to reach the God-desired goodness as we are advancing into New Jerusalem. So I'm so thankful and feel so blessed that we can challenge ourselves in this church where we can feel such warmth. Let us give all thanks and glory to Father God, who's provided us with a chance to hear such messages of goodness and with grace and love so that we can reach such level of goodness and take hold of New Jerusalem. A chance can be given to anyone, but it's our free will to take hold of it. And also, anyone who takes hold of that opportunity has it. Only those who have the ability or capability can make use of that opportunity. But in this church, through our shepherd, Father God didn't leave us alone. Even though we have no capability, Father God makes us into a person with capability. Father God has led us in such a way. So that's why I call this church Worm. So as we welcome the upcoming Christmas and the new year of 2020, filled with hope, what should we do? What should we do? We should change ourselves. Let us figure out Father God's heart for the souls. And remind ourselves of our Lord's love on the cross. Again, and also remember our shepherd looking at us with his eyes welling with tears, and his tears rolling down his face, and he's wiping off those tears with a piece of cloth. And let's change ourselves, remembering these things. If we find ourselves lacking spiritually or physically, or in light of common sense, let us fix ourselves. If we find ourselves with a rough character and far from being virtuous, let us change into a person with a generous and virtuous character. We may have wounds inflicted on us during our growth process. These wounds might have caused our hearts to become rough and bruised. Still, we should try to accept and understand others who hurt us, consider their wounds bigger than ours, and develop a broad heart by which we can embrace them. As we heard from the Sunday morning sermon, people tend to be self-centered. So once they suffer loss, they consider themselves as victim and consider others as a perpetrator or an evildoer. But Sina Pastor has always taught us that we have to hear from both sides, because a person could be self-centered and explains in a self-centered way. So, whose side is right? Both sides are not right. Only the truth is right. So we have to first reflect on ourselves and think why others think that way, and we have to customize ourselves to others. Rather than insisting, I'm just what I am, we have to think, I'm the son of God, a daughter of God. My father has always taught me, and he himself steadfastly exemplified what he's taught me. He told me to love my neighbors as myself, and he himself has lived such a life. Thus, I will also live such a valuable life. I'm not what I am, but I am a true son and daughter of God. Do you follow me? Let us examine our heart towards our neighbors. All our words, the way we greet others, our thoughts. You know, we have to check our manners of greeting. We have to check our looks, facial expressions. All these things originate from our heart. So rather than considering what others are like, we should first admit and fix ourselves and come forth to the light together. You know, I'm in charge of the Gwangmyeong City. Gwangmyeon literally means light. Out in the world, people say that we have to surrender ourselves and convert to the light. So, in the same way, we have to kneel down before Father God and convert to the light. We have to admit ourselves, and we have to put the blame on ourselves. We have to make a resolution to change ourselves more. That's how we convert to the light. As today's passage tells us that God is light and there is no darkness at all in Him, we should achieve goodness and be without evil at all. To do so, we should be able to look at ourselves with God's perspective, with the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. The enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, this is crucial. We can be enlightened by the Holy Spirit by worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And also, when we fervently pray, cry out in prayer, we can be enlightened by this Holy Spirit. And we are reminded of our Lord and our senior pastor with the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. So we become able to look at ourselves from not our perspective, but from God's perspective. As we stick to our self-righteousness and frameworks, we cannot discover the attributes that are not good. With today's message, I advise you to examine how close your heart is to being recognized as good by God. Also, we should go beyond just examining ourselves. We should make a resolution to become truly good and become a truly wonderful person, welcoming the new year, and finally achieve the God-pleasing goodness so that towards the end of the year, we can offer up a good aroma of our heart according to our measure of faith. In examining whether how good we are before God, first, we should look back on ourselves as to how much we detest and hate evil. You may think of this as too ordinary or nothing special. It's only natural that we should hate evil opposite to goodness in order to achieve goodness. However, we see those cases where people profess to long for goodness, but still have attachment to evil things and love them. Even while they pray for sanctification in their daily lives, they refuse to cast off evil. Our growth of faith is associated with our being good. To the extent we have goodness and love, while we have still remaining evil, if we are passive about our spiritual change and hesitate, if we think highly of ourselves and cannot discover our shortcomings and live with misconceptions, we become far from New Jerusalem. While living on this earth, we may insist on what we think is right with our own free will, but unless we give up that up in our Lord, we have to keep in mind that later on, we'll be filled with regrets, indescribable with words. This message is never for someone else, but for you. Unless you fail to change yourself, you could also have regrets later on. Later on here means the final judgment. We cannot have excuses on that day. Everything is decided by the standard of how much we have achieved the goodness that God desires. Another example, if a person wants to become truthful, he should detest deceit. He should go further than just making a resolution not to tell lies. He has to detest the fleshly attributes themselves that cause him to lie on account of his benefits. But if we really detest deceitful attributes themselves, we would never lie, even when we have to suffer great loss. We need God's grace. We cannot hate evil on our own strength. Only with the help from God, we can hate evil. So the first thing we have to do is to deeply realize how dirty, harmful, and shameful evil is. Only then can we be able to hate and cast off evil and long for and achieve goodness. When a person suffers a trial by his evil, he inscribes how harmful evil is to himself on his heart. Trials allow human beings to experience relativity during the cultivation. That's why trials are called blessings. Seeing a pot of boiling water, a little child may be filled with curiosity, but once he puts his hand on it and suffers a burn, his thoughts and feelings become completely different. The boiling pot is no longer perceived as a mysterious or interesting object, but as something that's terribly hot and causes him pain. Because we feel how harmful that is through a trial, we begin to hate it, even though we used to like it before. Another example is one of the church members burst with anger and then suffered a severe cold for several days. Despite receiving the prayer for the sick, she still remained sick with fever. While suffering like this, with the Spirit's help, she was reminded of the moment when she lost temper and then earnestly repented of it with tears. When she received the prayer after that, soon enough, the fever was gone. Through that experience, she learned a lesson. Losing temper is so harmful to me, physically and spiritually, and inscribed it on her heart. She deeply realized that if she acted in evil, she couldn't be protected by God, and it would provide grounds for Satan to accuse her. God detests evil, and it brings no benefit to us. It brings no benefit to us. On top of that, it hinders blessings from coming and brings us tribulations. It prevents us from entering a better place in heaven, and in the worst case, leads us to hell. Therefore, we are advised in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. We have to stay vigilant against evil and detest it. God considers those who abhor evil like this to be good. Sharing the first point, we've talked about how much we detest and hate evil. Before moving on to the second point, hearing that we should hate and detest evil, some people hate evil people, stay vigilant against them, and treat them cold-heartedly. They don't hate evil. They hate evil people. Do you follow me? Instead of evil, they hate evil people. But in light of the truth, that is never truth. We have to make this clear. We shouldn't justify ourselves. While we should hate evil, we should treat evildoers with mercy, forgiveness, and spiritual love. Of course, we are told not to accept their evil heart and words and stay vigilant against them. But hating or disliking evildoers themselves is evil in God's sight. So flesh is contradictory. The attribute of flesh is contradictory, and it is lie itself. Only the Spirit is the truth. So we have to perceive the truth and make bread of it in the right way. I know that you've been doing so well, but I brought this up to look back on ourselves again. The point is to hate evil and to love anyone who does evil or not. I mean, in examining how good we are before God, second, we have to check how much we've shattered and thrown away fleshly thoughts. As good-hearted people, everything about them is good. And even if a person accomplishes good works, while his thoughts and heart are not good, he cannot be recognized as good by God. Thoughts that are not good and not of the truth are fleshly thoughts derived from evil. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. In all. So remember, when were you happy? When you are around good people, you are so happy, right? If your wife or husband is a good person, is your husband or wife good? I don't force you to say amen. But let's suppose your superiors or wife, your husband or wife is a good person. Let's suppose if your juniors or your staff members are good. It'll be so good. To be good, being good in our Lord gives us peace and joy. It gives us of life. But if someone does not subject themselves to the law of God, we have to know that they are so evil. So that's why we have to cast off fleshly thoughts. Of course, those who long for goodness would try not to think of evil things, but only good ones. Even when they see something even when they see someone doing evil against them, they would try to understand and forgive him, rather than harboring ill feelings or a grudge. Rather than condemning and judging him based on his appearance, they would try to see his merits, put themselves in his shoes. But as for some people, even though they lose peace in their heart by fleshly thoughts, they are not aware that their thoughts are not of the truth. They think of themselves as victims, but they don't think they did others harm. They don't consider how others suffer because of him. That's why I'm telling you that we have to change even our character. We have to consider how others suffered because of us. So, you know, as I stood up here, I was very inspired to see the sanctuary decorated with decorations. But as I thought of each person's devotion and hard efforts to decorate everything, as I felt each of their hard work, they worked so hard in this cold weather, and I was very thankful. And as I put themselves in their shoes, I was very thankful. So if we think of ourselves as victims, we have to know that this is fleshly thought. So, and then we condemn or judge others as evildoers or perpetrator. Even though they claim to do good, they involve in fleshly ways of thinking, thereby not bringing joy to Father God. Let me give you an example. A cell group leader became fervent in heart and aims to achieve a big revival. He requests his members to gather together, show the gospel, and make home visits. But it appears that some of his members are not cooperative and don't care too much about his passion. Even at such times, if the leader had only spiritual thoughts, he wouldn't get impatient or upset. Rather, he'd think like, there must be a reason. I have to pray that they would become more spirit-filled. They look at them in faith to the end. While he himself does his best for the revival, he commits all things to God. By contrast, what if he had fleshly thoughts? He would judge and condemn them and think, why do they refuse to work faithfully while they say they love God? He could also harbor misunderstanding and think, they don't help me on purpose because they have some hard feelings against me. In other groups, the members are united in helping their leaders. But how come my members don't do so? What's the point of only me having the passion? It's so frustrating that they don't follow me. Comparing his members to those of other groups, he gets upset. Even before bearing fruits of revival, he becomes dejected. These thoughts are all fleshly thoughts hindering us from achieving goodness. Even though they try to do good works, as much as they bring in fleshly thoughts, they have such thoughts that are not good. Even while they proclaim they would achieve revivals by faith, actually, they fail to trust God and are overcome by greed. They have such greed to obtain results they want, a selfish desire to do look good to others, and self-righteousness and frameworks by which they insist on what they think is good and judge and condemn others. When things go against their will, thoughts that are not of the truth stem from such things. Even so, they say that they are in love with God and passionate about God's work. Also, they misconceive even more that they are achieving goodness. I urge you to always stay awake and discern whether you dwell on spiritual thoughts or fleshly thoughts. The standard with which we should discern is, do we maintain joy and peace coming from above in all circumstances? I ask you to remove all fleshly thoughts. If you find yourself without any joy and peace, you have to be aware that you are having fleshly thoughts. I ask you to remove all fleshly thoughts and have good thoughts alone. And the third point is, we need to check how much we've cultivated spiritual love. Just as Romans chapter 13, verse 10 reminds us, love does not do wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we have love, we wouldn't do evil, but bring forth good fruit in all our affairs. Here, love signifies spiritual love. No matter how fervently a person loves someone in a fleshly sense, his love ultimately seeks his own benefit. It is a kind of love by which he can do evil against her when something goes against his benefit. It is fleshly love which changes or decays. Taking a look at the prodigal son featured in Luke chapter 15, we find out we can achieve goodness only if we have a spiritual love. You know, today's sermon title is Being Good. And for us to become a good person, we need spiritual love. A son received his inheritance in advance and lived a dissipated life. He then returned home as a beggar. His father, however, rejoiced just for the fact that his son repented and came back and threw a big fist for him. But his older brother was upset. It's because the father hadn't thrown him a fist for him who'd worked hard. Because he thought that his father had to rebuke his younger brother, he couldn't understand his father welcoming his brother with a feast as if he had done something great. Even if he tried to think of this in a good way, it felt like it was right and just for him to be angry. Feelings, all kinds of thoughts went through his mind like, while he was indulging in all kinds of pleasures with the father's money, I was working hard. Despite my hard work, why does he love him more? He's already received and spent his inheritance. Such thoughts go through his mind. If he continually sticks to what is right and wrong like this, he cannot change his thoughts. Continually involving fleshly thoughts, he cannot have good thoughts.
Son을 사모하는 여러분은 형과 같은 입장에 처해 있다면
As we long for goodness, how should we behave if we were in his position? Some of you may resent your father and want to rebuke your brother, but suppress your feelings. Even though you cannot understand your father, you may force yourself not to complain, but only obey joyfully. Even though you feel that your brother committed fault, you just force yourself to feel happy about his coming back home safe and sound. But we cannot say this is goodness before God. Our standard should be on God. Earlier, I made it clear that before God, what is seen as good from our own perspective is not good. By making such efforts, you at least prevent yourself from doing evil, yet it can't be called good in a true sense. Suppose you keep on making such efforts, but your father's attitudes remain the same. Your father continually comforts your brother like you've ruined your health. I want you to eat good food and rest more. How would you feel? You may be provoked, but this is not goodness. You don't just force yourself to, but for all of us who are longing for New Jerusalem, we shouldn't have a heart of this older brother. If you love your brother like your father loves him, you wouldn't condemn, judge, or resent him. You wouldn't feel afraid of suffering loss because of his return. As much as you have selfish desire like this, you get far from being innocent and become a calculating person. If we had truly spiritual love towards his younger brother, he would love him. But as we find out in Luke chapter 15, the brother couldn't do so. Arguing over what was right and wrong, he got agitated and with hard feelings. This is because he lacked love, spiritual love. Without love, people forcibly hold back their feelings. If they fail to control them, they end up with a burst of evil. If we have spiritual love, we wouldn't get jealousy, but seek others' benefits. We would only want others to prosper. Even if they commit some fault, we would believe that they would change someday and give up what we cherish and make sacrifice for them. Even if we suffer some unfair situation, even if they ignore and disregard us, we would do our best to put ourselves in their shoes and forgive them. As you reflect on yourself in light of the Word, how much of spiritual love do you find in yourself? If there are moments when you are not sure whether something is of goodness and love that God desires, I advise you to discern through the words of the truth. I hope that all of you will eventually conduct yourself only in God-pleasing goodness always, in all circumstances. Let me conclude today's message. I've heard some people comment that to the eyes of good-hearted people, everyone looks good. You've heard of this comment, haven't you? Why don't we ponder over its meaning? Why do you think this is the case? Why does everyone look good to them, while there could be some evil ones around? Actually, based on that comment, I found myself not a good person. There's something I don't like about this guy. There's something I hate about this guy. When would he ever change? Because I have such frustration and hatred, checking myself based on that comment, I realize that I'm not a good person. You know, based on that comment that worldly people say, I found myself not quite a good person. And, you know, I also thought, yes, senior pastor said, brothers and sisters, I know there's someone whom you find difficult to deal with, whom you don't like. But actually, I always keep peace with him. He doesn't have any trouble with me. Yes, this is true. Senior pastor always gazed at each one of us with spiritual love and warm eyes emanating spiritual love. He did so to everyone, all of you sitting here in the sanctuary, and all those who betrayed him and tried to destroy him. You know, they say our eyes are the window to our soul. Do you miss his eyes with which he looked at you with love? Do you remember the tears welling in his eyes? When I met him face to face and glanced at his eyes, to my surprise, I would feel spiritual love flooding my heart. Then I would be filled with the Spirit and with confidence and resolution to come into Spirit. I was filled with confidence and resolution to come into Spirit. What about you? I think you have your own experiences. Yes, his loving eyes, originating from his good heart, bear light of God's power that revives things. What about the eyes of those with an evil heart? Have you ever seen others looking at you with such eyes? If others look at us with eyes that have no hope or love, of course, the first thing we have to do is to reflect on us and figure out why they look at us that way. But anyway, we are not happy when we see such eyes from others. So, do you remember how senior pastor glanced at us with the eyes of hope and love, filled with resolution to lead us to New Jerusalem? Weren't you so happy when you saw such eyes and received that kind of love? Then, we should always stay awake and examine ourselves as to with what kind of eyes we should deal with our neighbors. We have to treat others. As for me, I think like I have to cast off evil. If my eyes agonize others and take away their hope and destroy them, what great evil this is. If I find the shortcomings or evil from others, I should embrace them and try more to figure out their position. If I am to forgive them on my part, I would willingly accept his apology. Also, I should learn their strong points and merits and inscribe them on my part. You know, our baby Jesus came to this lowly earth. Why? So Christmas is the day we remind ourselves of who we were before. Also, I should learn their strong points and merits and inscribe them on my heart. I should respect their good points and learn from them. We have to know that even if there is a person who bothers us, we have to know that he has his merits. He has his strong points. Once we look at him after removing our prejudice, we may find him with more merits than we have. If we look at others with the limit of our thoughts, we cannot see their good points or strong points. To do so, we have to lower ourselves. Only then can we find His merits. You know, we talk about unity in Manmin. It's not about being united unconditionally. We have to be united only with the bond of the truth and love. As we all seek unity in Manmin, I pray that all of you will become blessed Manmin members who clearly understand what it is to be good, break away from our own level of goodness, and achieve God-desired goodness. In our Lord, who strengthens us, we can achieve more goodness and ultimately attain to the God-desired level of goodness. As we are heading towards the hope-filled new year of 2020, why don't we change ourselves? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.